The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
And we've reached the final hour. It's been an eventful afternoon. We appreciate you being a part of the program, and let's get back to the calls. And Big E is up next. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Just like to say, roll tide to you.
Thank you.
And got two or three quick little things. Number one, I'd like to give a shout-out to Legend. I'd like to talk to him one day. Me and him may have crossed paths in our past. I'm just not sure. Number two, I'd like to say how highly I think of the little girl that called in a while ago, the young lady.
Yes.
Bowden, and I'd like to tell her to stick with her dreams and put in the work, and great things can happen. My wife and I raised $2 that were really into sports, and good things happened to them. And the last thing I'd like to ask is, and then I'll hang up and listen to your response. You may have already talked about it. I had a doctor's appointment today and was late tuning in. But do you think the SEC will issue any fines to the Tennessee fans for what they did Saturday night?
I hope your doctor's office visit went well. Yeah, they've already done that. They've fined the university $250,000 for what happened on Saturday night. Let's check in next with Chris, who is in Tennessee. Hello, Chris.
Hey, Paul. Good to talk to you again, sir. It's been a few weeks. Hey, so I just wanted to call in. Just you're really getting it today, first and foremost, from some of your callers.
That's okay.
They're being a little relentless today. But, yeah, you know what happens, no doubt. But I just want to say, honestly, you know, the story about Ed Oates, it is what it is. It's sad to see the man kind of getting out. You know, I liked him genuinely going back, especially a couple years ago. And, you know, it's unfortunate, but I think ultimately, you know, there is a standard at LSU. They've made that clear. And, you know, it is what it is. So, I really just wanted to call and just kind of, you know, just give my kind of two cents on the whole Tennessee thing.
Sure.
There's been so much talk that's going on, a lot of, you know, rumors about, you know, who started it, and apparently some Ole Miss fans, people have said, I mean, look like they were starting to throw things. And it's like, you know, it's a terrible situation either way. You know, you don't want to point fingers. I was on the field there, kind of sideline near the Ole Miss band, looking down and seeing all the stuff just coming down. And it was flying from all different heights, you know, so you know it was coming from different sections for sure. It wasn't just one particular. But a bad situation that really kind of ruined the end of the game there, especially for a lot of people who just wanted to come and see just a very tough fog game. Great atmosphere.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because it was a spectacular night. And regardless of how it ended up, I think we would have all remembered it as maybe a turning point in Tennessee football, even though they've won some big games. But it was just just so much fun. Tennessee's played so many of those early games, and this was a celebration where the program is. And it all got away for a really small percentage of people. But it's always that way. I mean, we've always seen that. So thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check out Bob, who is in Fort Worth. Hello, Bob. Go right ahead.
Yeah. Good afternoon, Paul.
Hey, how are you?
Good, sir. Hey, I hate to be the one to say I told you so, but you remember last December, and you probably don't remember, but I was talking about when you kicked the lid off that Pandora box, what comes out?
I do vaguely remember this conversation, yes.
Well, it's come to fruition at LSU. And I'm going to tell you something. It's not over. I think Scotty Boy is letting everybody get clear of the blast zone before he pulls the pin on the grenade. But with Ogeron letting him finish out the season, but it's fixing to get nasty at LSU.
Well, I do understand. I mean, this is a football season that we all care about, whether it's going the right direction or not. And you hate to blow up a season, but I'm curious because you did have some prophecy a few months ago. Can you, without maybe specifics, tell us more about what you're portending here?
Well, I'm Paul, and I don't want to take nothing away from Scott's Woodward's glory, but this has been in the people to know at LSU. And hey, look, I'm a third generation Aggie, and I've got somebody pretty close to the situation down there, and he's an Aggie too. But there's been a lot of stuff that the young man you had on at the first of the show that hemmed and hawed around the facts of the deal. There's stuff that's fixing to come out that the folks in LSU are going to take a wide eye view of. And I mean, we're fixing to get in to the Baylor deal, and there's going to be a lot of folks upset over the deal. And just for the sake of one of mine that's down there, I'm not going to go any more than that, but okay. It's going to get
well,
nasty.
Well, let me say this, Bob. When you have multiple lawsuits going on, that is an indicator of what could possibly happen. I'm just talking about what we know, not what we don't know. But I found the press conference last night a little bit cringeworthy, if you follow me. I just didn't really believe it.
Yes, sir.
I don't believe the sincerity. I think for a man like Ed Orgeron to go down, and I know there's $17 million, and maybe that would, but it seemed like he just folded his tent and said, okay, whatever you're suggesting, I'm good with. Give me the money. I'll say the right things and get out of town.
You're exactly right. That's all he wants. Give me the money, and I'll go back to shoveling ice on a shrimp boat.
Exactly.
Because, I'm here to tell you, Paul.
Because he is a fighter. The Ed Orgeron that I've always been around, he would fight them to the end about what they suggested, and he did not.
No, sir. No, sir. And, hey, look, Ed Orgeron to sit down and drink a cold beer with and have a good time with would be a hell of a fella. But that's not what LSU's been looking for, and it's going to rise up, and it's going to bite them in the back end. And, hey, and by the way, Paul, you made a comment a while ago that money was no object of LSU. Am I wrong? But what was it, 4 or 5 years ago they was talking about shutting down the
Yeah, no, you're right. The legislature was, you're 100% correct about that. The legislature was threatening to shut down the football program if they couldn't get, some bill passed.
Well, that's correct. And you said something a couple of years ago, and I've never mentioned it, and I've called you several times.
Okay.
But you said, and somebody called, and it was way after the fact, of Saban going to Texas, and you said, well, Alabama would just outbid Texas for the deal. And look, let's make something perfectly clear. Nick Saban's in Alabama because Nick Saban wants to be in Alabama. Because you could bankrupt the state of Alabama and not outbid Texas University. And I'm a third-generation Aggie.
I hear you. I mean, listen, I know where you're coming from. I'll tell you a story, and you probably know it a lot better than I do. I'll never forget, I was at A&M one day, and I'm sure you know, you probably knew the Bum Bright Center there. Is that the football facility? And
yes, sir.
You probably know all these people. I don't. And I was asking my host, who has become a good friend, and you would know him, and we were talking about it, and he said the original plan was to take X number of years to pay for it, And one day, Bum Bright just showed up with a check for the whole thing. And
yes, sir.
He said, go ahead.
You know, when they redone Kyle Field, and it cost $500 million, and I heard a deal on TV one day said, well, how did A&M afford that? They wrote him a check. I mean, they did have to go somewhere. And
No, I agree with you. I'm not saying I just say things to say things. Alabama would have, they may have been outbid because, I am fairly familiar with the UT and the Texas Aggies fan base. That's not fan base, ball. But booster base. And we're talking about something totally different here. I agree with you.
Yes, sir. Well, I just want to – and like I said, I shouldn't probably call you, but I told you.
Do me a favor, Bob. Please stay in touch. Thank you so much for the call. Kermit Davis a little bit later on. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We welcome you back. Great to have you here. Final 40 minutes or so of the program. And back to the calls we go. And David is up next. Hello, David.
Hey, Paul, this is David in Florida. Can you hear me?
Yes, I sure can. Thank you.
I was curious. Have you guys talked about Lane Kiffin as the future LSU coach today?
His name has certainly been mentioned. I am not of the opinion, that he will be at the top of the list, but that doesn't mean he couldn't find his way into the list.
Sure. What I was thinking is that I don't see him at LSU. I mean, at Ole Miss in 3 years. I think he'll drop down like a Taylor Swift breakup song.
And I like that.
So I think he would go, unless he wanted to go to the pros, but he's going to want to win a championship. He's that competitive. So he would look, where can I win a championship in the next 3 to 5 years? So if you look back over the past, since year 2000, that's going to be Alabama, take them off the list. Southern Cal, take them off the list. Clemson, take them off the list. So you really get down to Oklahoma, take them off the list. So it's like Auburn and Ohio State, Florida, take them off the list, and LSU. So, if he wanted to find a place that has already won and has at least some idea how to get there, LSU is a very valuable option.
Well, David, I agree. I don't mean this to sound the wrong way, but if Les Miles and Ed Orgeron can win a national championship at LSU, Lane Kiffin certainly can.
Roger that. So if the opportunity's there,
The only issue is I don't know what it's all about relationships, and I don't know Scott Woodward has shown a history of knowing people. He knew Jimbo Fisher when they were together at LSU, and that had, you know, played a role in him hiring him at Texas A&M. I don't know if there is a past. I'll see Lane over the weekend, so maybe I'll find out.
Yeah, he'll talk to you about his first job interview when LSU comes to town. I appreciate your time. And
thank you very much. Appreciate it. I think Lane Kiffin is a strong candidate for any job, but you know, sometimes, you know, do I think he would fit? Yeah, it's worth remembering, and this is absolute fact, that Ed Orgeron was about to hire Lane Kiffin to be his offensive coordinator. He was going to leave Alabama to go to Ole Miss, and then Florida Atlantic came along and made him the offer. Let's talk to William, who is up next. Hello, William. William, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Well, good. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. How are you doing today,
Mr. I Paul? Am doing well. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, I'm down here in Florida, man, and I was just wondering, what do you think about the old Dan Mullen with Anthony Richardson and Emory Jones situation?
Well, I think I'll quote Greg McElroy earlier. I'm not sure it matters when you have a defense that can't stop anyone. I think they're both good quarterbacks. I mean, Richardson seems, you know, I mean, I think he showed at the end of the game, you know, he is still young, but he was fantastic in the game. And I think long term, he is going to be phenomenal. Hey, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Mike next. Hey, Mike, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, this is Mike from Jacksonville, Florida.
Sure.
Can you believe it? The Jaguars actually won a football
game. I watched that field goal yesterday, and I'm like thinking. And Urban Meyer compared it to he said the locker room was like in some of the national championship locker rooms he's been in.
Wow. And it's so funny, too, because even the college levels have problem with kickers like the pros are.
Yeah. Cowboys, was it the Cowboys game I watched yesterday? The Cowboys kicker hooked a field goal.
Yeah. But, hey, the biggest question I got two questions for you. One is, naturally, every year the SEC has got injuries because they beat each other up so bad. And the other question is, what do you think about the Dan Mullen situation? I mean, the defensive side this weekend, we had, what, four touchdowns straight up the hole on the exact same play?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I think – I'm reluctant to say too much about Dan Mullen's situation and, you know, coaching, not him, but his staff until after the Georgia game. But I think the Georgia game is going to determine a lot of things down there. And there's a lot of angst right now, understandably so. But, you know, I really am curious about his game plan against Georgia.
Yeah, that's going to be a telltale to the whole rest of the season. I agree with you totally on that. Hey, man, I've always enjoyed your show. You're the common sense of the Southeastern Conference, and I appreciate everything you do.
I appreciate your call. Thanks so much. Cat Daddy is up next.
Big Paul, I got to tell you something. If I walked down the main street of Columbia, South Carolina, and I walked up to every person, and I said, "Don't ask me what job you had, but you're fired, and I'm going to give you $17 million. Well, you want to know what the job is?" How many people you think would say, "Yeah, what was the name of the job?"
No, I agree with you. And I love this job very much, and I wouldn't give it up for anything. But for $17 million, give me a few minutes to think about it, okay?
I hear you. Let me take you down the middle of the road with what happened up here at Tennessee. I was at the 1982 Liberty Bowl when Ole Miss played Alabama. I think it was Bear Bryant's last game.
Well, Bear Bryant's last game was against Illinois.
Illinois, all right. But in that game, if I'm correct, there was a bad call made, and I never seen so many half-pint liquor bottles come down on the field.
Yeah.
And the rest were throwing them off to the side.
I was there.
So, you know, you go back and look at the history of college football, and I'm condoning what the Tennessee fans did. But this has gone on in college football ever since the beginning of time. And I just hate it for the player. But I'm sure most Tennessee fans aren't that way, and they're ashamed of it.
I can assure you, most Tennessee fans, I've been to quite a few games in that stadium, and there's always going to be an outlier. This was an emotional moment, and it was still repugnant. And there's no explaining around it. When you're talking about the kind of debris that came down, and I've got plenty of friends in Knoxville who have explained their side of the story, and good for them. But the problem with their side of the story, that's not what the nation has seen. The nation, and this isn't just on SportsCenter. It's on every news show in America yesterday and today. The video was shown, and give Lane Kiffin credit for being a carny master, because he played it to the hilt. But it doesn't matter whether he did or not. It matters that this is the information in the video and the images that have been disseminated nationally. It's a terrible look. We are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We are back, and Oscar is up next in Baton Rouge. Hello, Oscar.
Yes, I was watching the show, and I always like to watch it because I'm a big SEC fan, and I was going to call in about the Baton Rouge situation and the Tennessee and just make a comment. But I think from listening to your callers, particularly the fellow that wrote the article, that everything I probably needed to say or wanted to say. And I will say, I think Coach O is a terrific guy. I'm extremely grateful that he gave us that championship. And I sent him a present, as a matter of fact. And I think he's a great guy. But I think that's probably where we needed to go at this time. But as far as Tennessee goes, I think that can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you well.
Tennessee, I was a big Tennessee fan for years. I played Rocky Top and Pat O'Brien's many times. I know a lot of people there. I actually had some work there and got close to the city. But what they did to John Curry, I think, typifies – and I'm sure they know who John Curry is. He was the athletic director who got 40 under 40 in sports.
Right.
Had a great job at Kansas State, did really well there, and went to Tennessee. And you talk about being fired for no reason. He was unceremoniously fired, and they didn't even pay his contract out. And then he's been in Wake Forest now, and you look where they are as opposed to Tennessee. And I do like Tennessee. It's a great state, and I actually have a house very close to there. But, and besides Tennessee, I mean, there are fans like that everywhere. I know that from basketball, but I was watching the game, and I left after 10 minutes because I really didn't care anymore. I just felt like the Tennessee fans really deserved to have the game forfeited. I know that I've been in basketball arenas at times where – if they start throwing things or somebody gets on the microphone and says, if you don't stop, you're going to have to forfeit the game. So that's how serious I thought it was. I mean, players don't need to be at risk to play this game. They got enough problems. And I noticed that Nick Saban got injured after the A&M game. So they need to, the SEC, even nationally, need to institute some kind of severe penalties and to make the game safe so everybody
can
enjoy it.
Well, Oscar, I think I'm just making an observation, but Tennessee, like many, sell alcohol, and we're not just talking about 8-ounce beer cans. I mean, we're talking about I don't even know how big the beer, but I mean, I'm talking about 16 to 20 some odd ounces. And does that create help create a dangerous situation at night? Of course it does. An exciting game.
No question.
You can say, well, we cut beer sales off after the third quarter. So what?
But Paul, can I also just comment? You don't bring a golf ball
no.
to a football game unless you're intending to throw it at somebody.
Exactly.
Or something. This wasn't necessarily even spontaneous. It was premeditated.
I was I was a couple of feet away from Tommy Tuberville once at Tiger Stadium in Baton Rouge, and a whiskey bottle missed him and me by no more than 2 or 3 feet. If it hit me, no one would have cared. But I saw it. I mean, I was walking a couple feet behind him, and it whizzed literally by his right ear.
Well, I think the fans themselves need to take a stand. If they see someone throw a whiskey bottle or something of that nature, they need to go ahead can you hear me?
Yes. Yeah, I can.
Yeah, they need to go. They need to go ahead and report it. I mean, it's only makes sense.
There were a number of arrests, and clearly the video is being checked pretty closely. Hey, thank you for the call. Frank is in Minnesota. Hello, Frank.
Hey, Paul, how you doing today?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Hey, great work navigating all this NO discussion today. I got to tell you, from the upper Midwest perspective, the career of this guy has been quite amazing. I mean, you know, from the Midwest, looking down out there, you know, he always kind of came across as this one-of-a-kind, lovable character, and now it seems like he kind of went off the deep end at the end. But he had this one kind of amazing year, this outlier year, and it was really amazing. On the other hand, Paul, think about it. You know, it's not easy to be a Division I head coach, and somehow this guy became the Division I head coach at Ole Miss, USC, and LSU. I mean, had an amazing career.
Frank, I have no idea what he plans next. I know coaches; they like to do something. Whether it's coach or be on television or do something, and I think he will. It's quite unbelievable when you think about what he has accomplished. We have to run to a break early here. We have one more guest and plenty of time for your calls after that, so don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Build up to basketball as the SEC season inches closer. And one of our favorite people, Coach Kermit Davis, joining us from Oxford. Coach, seems like we've been going to Oxford a lot lately talking football. It's nice to have you here to talk a little hoops as we get ready for the season.
What it is, it's getting closer and But it has. It's been fun to watch Ole Miss football. They've had some unbelievable wins so far in the young season.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't checked your schedule yet, but be careful on the road. Your compatriot Lane has certainly attracted among other things, golf balls. I don't know if he gave you that range ball he picked up at Neyland Stadium, but I'm sure you could put it to good use.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, Paul. The way he hits it off the tee, he needs to keep that ball because he's going to need it in the spring. I promise you that. I guarantee you.
I know a lot of coaches in their golf game. I'm not familiar with lanes, and I'm not going to be after what you just got through saying. Well, let's talk about what you are familiar with, and that's the upcoming season. And you're such a respected and revered coach around the country, and I know you are eager to I know you're already on the court, but you're eager to get that first game going here in a few weeks.
Well, it is. You know, we're now into our third week of practice. I like our team a lot. Knock on wood, we're healthy, and I think that's what everybody's trying to get to is get your best guys and stay healthy. We've kind of got one of those closed scrimmages on Sunday of next week. That'll be really good for us. But we've got a good blend. I mean, we've got a good group of returning guys, three kind of power five transfers, and then four high school guys. So they've been a good group. We've got a lot of work ahead of us, but I like our team right now, Paul.
You were the 2019 Coach of the Year, and you've had some really great moments and some really close calls, too, as you look ahead. And I realize trying to forecast the SEC in October is perilous, but what do you see as the biggest obstacles to not only get to the tournament, but maybe make a little noise this year?
Well, I think it's all of our goal. It's our goal to compete for an SEC championship. You know, last year we had the fourth most wins in the SEC, and we kind of had a couple, you know, close ones at the very end. And so I thought our team played great at the end last year. We'd like to be right there in the conversation the last couple of weeks. I think there's going to be a lot of teams to get an opportunity to play in the tournament. You know, Paul, we all got to do our job and do well in November and December in some big non-conference games. But, you know, it's not just coach speak, but I think people can safely say that the SEC may be the very best league in basketball in the country, and I think there's a great, great chance for us to get 7 to 9 teams in.
I see Charleston Southern and Marquette among the first couple of games. What else do you have before we get to SEC play?
Yeah, you know, we've got a great home schedule. We've got Memphis at home. We've got Dayton at home. We go to the Charleston tournament, the ESPN tournament, Marquette, West Virginia, Clemson, St. Bonaventure, a lot of really good teams. We play in the Hoop Fest in Atlanta. I think us, LSU, maybe Auburn are the three SEC teams. We play a very good Western Kentucky team in Atlanta. So obviously we're going to be challenged greatly in the SEC, but I know we're going to have some great opportunities in the non-conference schedule.
Well, I know there's one game you have no chance of winning, and that's against St. Bonnie, our producer, Mark Kubiak, a Bonnie graduate, and he's already picked them to win it all undefeated. So I hate to break that to you, Coach. I know you got a lot of exciting things this weekend. We were actually going to be in Oxford this weekend, and you have some events. But tell us about this Make Kermit Pay event. I know it raises money for a very good cause.
Yeah, it is. It's Tuesday night, Paul. It's probably one of the most fun things, really. Two of my favorite things besides the games are what's coming up this week, and it's Make Kermit Pay. It's our fundraiser for Coaches Versus Cancer. And the coolest thing about it, Paul, we do it with the students. So I don't know if my wife's real happy about it, but we write a check at the end of the event. For every student that shows up, I pay $1. For every free throw they make, I pay $10. For every half-court shot they make, I pay $500. So 2 years ago, we had it, Paul, in the Ole Miss student body. I think I wrote a check for like a little under $10,500, but the Ole Miss student body bailed me out. They shot a hot 13% from the line. I think they were 130 for almost 1,000. So hopefully they're a little bit better. And but it is. It's a great way for us to connect with the students, raise money for for our fight against cancer, which all of us have been touched by.
Well, for us working people, $10,000 sounds like a lot of money, but for you big-time coaches, I'm sure that's just walking around change.
Well, no, it's not. Maybe for the football coach, not for the basketball coach.
Well, it is, regardless, it's a great cause, and I hope people watching and listening this afternoon will contribute and make tomorrow night a very special event, just like it always is when we have a chance to visit with you, Coach. You be well. Take care of yourself.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you very much. Coach Kermit Davis of Ole Miss joining us from Oxford, Mississippi. And we welcome all of you back. Brad is up next in Atlanta. Hey, Brad, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul.
Good afternoon.
I'm streaming your show, so I'm running about an hour behind. So you may have moved on from this. And if so, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
But I was calling regarding Coach O and some of the comments early on, you know, like this poor guy. And I just have a hard time feeling sorry for somebody that's probably going to make, what, $17 million just to leave?
Yeah, I saw it. Dispersal. I think he gets $5 million up front, and then it's paid out in increments over the next couple of years. I mean, it's listen, we all dream one day of maybe having a couple of million dollars, but $17 million. I'm talking about combined income of everyone you know, but that's a lot of money in the bank.
I mean, I know it, there's other factors there. There's pride and being a head coach of a like a school like LSU, that, there's a lot there, but there are a lot of people that lose their jobs because of indiscretions or just not good performance, and they certainly don't get that kind of money to leave.
No, Brad, I will say that he was fired according to the school because of the one loss record. But I think there were other mitigating circumstances that expedited the decision. I mean, just think about the fact I have never seen a coach let go after a big win against one of your biggest rivals. Usually it comes after a continuum of losses. So it shows that, and they said that this decision was already made. The fact that O said, okay, the fact that he signed off and he's being a good sport about it. I'm not sure I would be such a good sport. Would you?
No, I probably wouldn't, but I think he'll wind up maybe a defensive coach somewhere, and this will all be behind him. I mean, he's under a microscope right now, his personal life, and gosh, none of us could probably withstand.
No, I agree with you. He, some people are cut out for it, and some, I mean, he won the national championship, and then it was never the same. But a couple of years from now, right now, most fans are still embracing him, and they don't want to hear the negativity. They don't want to hear the gossip. They don't want to hear the innuendo. All they want to hear is that he won them a title under 2 years ago. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. Robert is up next in South Carolina. Hello, Robert.
Hey, Paul. Yeah, I guess it's a good thing for Tennessee that Ogeron got let go this weekend, because y'all sure have let them off easy with what happened up there Saturday night. They should have been admonished for everything.
They were. Again, I don't find fault with your statement, but the SEC condemned them within hours of the incident. The school chancellor condemned them. They were fined $250,000 today. What else should have been done, I guess, is my question.
I would have thought you would have spoke about it for at least an hour today, and hopefully you can get the arrest records of the people that got arrested and throw their mugshots up there on TV. Let people see the kind of people.
Well, first of all, Robert, let me say this, and I don't want to sound like a lawyer, but I don't know if it's a good idea to throw their mugshots up, because just because you're charged with something doesn't mean you will be found guilty of it. So there is a presumption of innocence. I was on television yesterday morning before many people got up criticizing what I saw. So I appreciate your comments, but I feel pretty comfortable with my position. And I also don't know what else we can say. It would be one thing if the university was shirking responsibility. I mean, Heupel a minute ago did not really want to deal with it. He talked about what a great atmosphere it was, but the chancellor and the president of the university have been very specific about the disgraceful behavior of those fans. Thank you very much for the call, though. Jimmy is in Kentucky. Hello, Jimmy. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. A couple things. Wanted your take on the LSU upcoming coaching position that's going to be vacant. What are your thoughts about possibly Hugh Freeze coming back to the SEC and coaching the Tigers? And secondly, it's probably premature, but if Spencer Rattler were to put his name out there for the transfer portal, what school do you think would be a good fit for him if he decides to go that route?
Yeah, Jimmy, I think he will, because it's clear he you talk about Ed O's fall from grace. Spencer Rattler was the Heisman favorite 2 months ago. I mean, and now I know we saw Jalen Hurts lose his job to Tua, but that was a little bit different. That was with a walk-off in a national championship game, and then they competed. But this is extraordinary. As far as Hugh Freeze, I will say that I have enormous respect for Hugh Freeze as a coach and as a developer of talent. I don't think he'll be considered for this job, and whether it's right or whether it's wrong, I think the baggage that caused him to leave Ole Miss will haunt him in this search. And that is, I mean, has he paid for whatever happened down there? Yes. Has he apologized for it? Yes. But when you consider that there were some squeamish circumstances with this one, I just don't think he'll be considered. We are done. We appreciate all of you being a part of the program. We hope you have a great night.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.